Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Scare Guy Show, the official podcast of thescareguy.com. Oh, I love these people. We are the spookier side of the con guy, and this is where we celebrate everything that's kind of scary fun. We are filmmakers, writers, actors, creatives, and teachers coming to you from the dark and sinister heart of Hollywood, California. It's not that sinister always. We're here. My name is Jim, and I have a couple of compatriots with me today, and we have somebody joining us a little bit later. First, ladies first, who do we have with us?
It is me. I am the sole solo female tonight, Katie Christine, aka for Spooky Season, the final girl Katie. Excited to talk about Spooky Season, which I gotta say, I haven't been feeling the spooky season that much this year, which we'll talk more about later, but I have done some spooky things that did help a little bit, so.
Yeah, and she's going to bring us some inside reports. All right. We got half of the Samlings. Who is it?
Yeah, just half of us. Yeah, I'm Derek, a regular here. Kind of got Derek. I am a writer, software engineer, and currently a middle school English teacher, which I'm not sure how that happened, but.
Well, I love the fact that you're teaching, and I taught English as well, and it is a gift. It is. I was not able to stick with it, and Derek seems more inclined to be able to do
it
this.
It is a good time. It is an interesting stage of life, and those kids are very entertaining. I'll say that. It's a great stage.
Hello, Nathan. Nathan, hi, Nathan. Good to see you. Also, Andy, always good to see
Hello,
you,
Andy.
My friend.
Andy.
But tonight, guys, we got a really cool show. And Katie kind of mentioned it. We tonight is Halloween. This is our big Halloween show. How big is the Halloween industry and how quickly is it growing? It's kind of crazy. It seems like in the last 5 years, it seems like it's doubled than what it was 10 years ago. And we know it's way far ahead of where it was 20, 30 years ago. So this week on our big Halloween show, we are going to examine this creepiest of seasons of the year with inside reports from Halloween Horror Nights, both Orlando and Hollywood. Yeah, we hit them both. Not Scary Farm, the LA Haunted Hayride. And so we'll talk about some frights from across the country, including, and you notice that Cheeseman is not on the couch tonight. Well, he might be on the couch, but I doubt he's on a couch in Las Vegas. But he sent us a message with a little bit of a Halloween greeting from Vegas. It's going to be fun. So from haunts to movies to TV and costumes, we are going all inside Halloween. And I couldn't – wait. Yeah, Andy, Derek is here.
Hi, Andy. Oh. I know I've been gone a while.
Did Luke go to one when we were young?
Yes. Wait, the concert?
Yeah, the festival.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, if he's in Vegas, he probably went to one when we were young fest. So
who was in that festival, Katie?
A lot of people. I've been calling it like Warped Tour times like Return, because Warped Tour no longer is a thing anymore. But I think the one he probably mostly went to see was probably Blink-182.
Yeah,
I guess.
Him and two of his buddies who were in a band with him when they were in college, they all went to see. This is the reunion tour, basically, of Blink-182.
Yeah, Blink-182 was there. I know Good Charlotte was there. Reliant K was there. Avril Lavigne, All Time Low.
So, yeah, he's there. He sends us a little a message. He does. He got a little bit of a spooky Halloween thing going on. Hey, hello, Lily. Hello. Good to see you. Andy says it has been a while. So it's good to see you guys tonight. I'm going to, first of all, since this is a happy hour and I want to be happy, I've got my Bates Motel glass with me tonight. We are going to jump into the Halloween discussion here in just a second. But if I remember right, I think if I pour cold liquid in here, well, that's kind of a cheat.
It fills up.
Yeah, but the pink was supposed to turn red.
It looks, the roof.
It just takes a minute.
There's blood spots turning red.
Yeah, so the blood beside the Bates Motel, it's getting darker. Yeah, either that or the background is just darker and makes it stand out. All right, Katie, I got to ask you, Halloween. I know that you and Derek and me have all come from kind of really crazy different backgrounds. Real quick, since we're talking about the history of Halloween and how it's changed over the years, what do you remember about your Halloween as a kid?
I remember my costumes. You know, every year my dad would help me make my costume. A lot of my costumes I would think were homemade growing up. Because we would always go trick-or-treating, like, house to house. I grew up in a year-long summer camp and conference center. And so all the kids would kind of just walk around. I know, shocker. Now everybody has to use, like, cars to get around, especially in Los Angeles. But we would walk from house to house. And then at the end, there was, like, a whole bunch of subdivisions where you didn't know who was there or who was not there. They would come down to the main cafeteria hall. And they would bring candy, and you could just go to those table to table for the people who we couldn't get to their houses. But I just remember my dad, like, I know I need to, like, give you pictures of these sometimes because it's not going to do it justice to describe it. But, like, I was Catwoman one year, and my dad got one of those plastic McDonald's cups, like the big ones, and made me these, like, long, like, fingernails that we covered in foil to give me, like, claws. I wore my dad's hockey gear and I was a hockey player, but he like did cuts. So it looked like I was like a beat up hockey player. I was Eponine, but everybody just thought I was a hobo. So, you know, things that don't read sometimes, but for me, it was always like where my creativity, I think, started. Cause anybody who's familiar with the show, or maybe you're new, I'm a costume designer and a wardrobe person. So I do think Halloween is where I kind of started that, because my dad helped me make my costumes. So I didn't really buy costumes much as a kid. So.
Wait. What is it? Nathan says, yo, the con guy today is the day it's my birthday. Nathan, are you telling us today is your 30th birthday? I think that's what you're saying in kind of a riddly kind of way. Is that what you're saying? If so.
Today is the day.
Happy birthday.
Birthday 30. Okay.
Fantastic, Nathan. Happy birthday to you, my friend.
All right, Derek. Welcome to the 30s club.
Yeah, well, that's long ago club for me, but still.
I haven't been kicked out of that club yet, but I won't be in it much longer. I'll tell you that.
All right, Derek, what about you? What was your first interaction with Halloween? And then I got to give us a little history lesson here.
Well, when I was young, before the other sampling on this podcast was born, there was just my brother and I, and our mother made us costumes most years. We were gorillas once. We were clowns one year. We were Peter Pan and Captain Hook one year. And we just went trick-or-treating around I don't even know if you'd call it a neighborhood. We're kind of from the country, and all the houses nearby were our relatives. We had second cousins and great aunts and uncles and first cousins once removed and grandparents next door. We went to all these houses and they gave us candy, of course. But being young children in the late 80s and early 90s, you know, we had in our minds that our parents had to check our candy. Because obviously, you know, my cousin up on the hill was really going to put razor blades in, you know, a Jolly Rancher or something. Not sure how they'd manage that. But anyway, it's just funny because that was just the idea we had. All these stories you'd hear about trick-or-treating and how you've got to make sure you're safe. But for us, the big risk was, you know, stepping in a hole or, you know, falling down the hill into the woods or something.
I get that. Yeah.
I mean, once when I was little, you know, and I think it was the year I was dressed as a clown, they sent me up to knock on the door of our cousin's house up on the hill, and their front, it was like a little front deck kind of thing, had been pulled out for some maintenance reason, and there was like a foot of space between that and the door, and in the dark, I didn't know it. So I just like walked up to knock on it, and I just fell straight down like something out of a cartoon. And then like, of course, me as a child, on Halloween, just freaked out when I fell down onto the ground from this porch and my, you know, candy bucket was just spilling out. But I didn't die, fortunately, as far as you know. Things turned out all right. But yeah, that's what Halloween was like for us. You know, homemade costumes, walking around to relatives' houses.
Yep.
You know, still getting some decent candy.
Did you guys use like a pillowcase?
Yes.
Okay.
I think
we got the buckets because they came in Happy Meals. Our Happy Meals came in the buckets for a while.
I mean, they're doing that again, but no, but like that was never big enough for the candy. So like we would just bring us a pillowcase to to like dump our candy in.
I see. You had actually actual neighbors.
Here's my bucket.
Which is wild to think about, because if you guys knew where I grew up, there isn't more than 1,000 people at a time. It's not that many people. It's just everybody lives in a small space because it was in the mountains. So like it really wasn't a lot, but like compared to like the country, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Hello, Jonathan Wilkinson. Jonathan, correct me if I'm wrong, Jonathan, you and me and Luke, we got a date on Wednesday night, right? I think, right? Right.
A mandate.
Yeah.
Hey, Cleaver.
Cleaver's here.
Sorry to be tardy to the party, everybody.
Yep. Oh, that's right. Wednesday, not tomorrow. Wednesday night. Today is Monday. So on this coming Wednesday night, myself and Luke and Mr. Jonathan Wilkinson are going to Halloween Horror Nights here in Los Angeles. So
I'm excited to hear about that.
Yes, I went to the one in Orlando. Get to compare it to this one. I have thoughts, but we're going to get there in a second. Just for those of you watching, we're about to throw it over to Ben. Ben, we have a question. I'll let you think about it for a second. What was your first experience with Halloween? If you can remember back to that and just kind of fill us in. But what we're going to do as soon as we're done there, we're going to talk about the history of Halloween and how it's growing. And then I know some of us have been to some of the haunted attractions across the country. And I've got some videos I want to share with you guys, which are kind of fun. And I got some things to share. Luke Cheeseman on the couch has a video he has sent us from Vegas, that bum. And so Ben, we are talking Halloween tonight. We're talking about the history of Halloween, and we're kind of talking about the exponential explosionary is that a word, growth of Halloween, how it's become so popular, especially in this last 5-10 years. It's just become like, you know, the elephant in the room of holidays almost. So Ben, hashtag BK421. First of all, introduce yourself to those who are listening to the podcast, and then let us know when was your first time with Halloween. Awesome.
All right. So, hi, everyone. I'm Ben Cleaver, and I'm an actor, writer, comedian. I'm on a couple podcasts now. I also host one over at Movie Melee called The Geek Seat with Ben Cleaver.
Nice.
We just shot the second episode of our two-parter on all the live-action Batman. Those are audio only. We're kind of bouncing
very cool
between if we want to do like video or audio only or whatever.
Don't do video. It just messes everything up.
Well, that's also a thing.
Ben, first of all, before you start talking, your shirt is so cool. What is that?
Thank you. This is
Disneyland
Last year's Disneyland special shirt. And, I had to wait a whole year to break it out again. So
I love that.
All
right, back to Ben.
So I do all these things. You can find me on social media at Ben Cleaver. That's BenKlieWer. I'm on TikTok. I've posted like two videos, and then Instagram. I'm on Twitter or X. I think I might just delete my account on there because it's
you're an XXer.
Yeah, it might be an XXer. But yeah, so Halloween. The reason that we are all alive. first earliest memory, something like that.
When did Halloween start for you? What was your younger years like?
My earliest memory of Halloween was my mom dressing me up in a costume. I had to have been 3 or maybe 4 tops. And it was the old school, like hobo outfit. Yeah. Like the bowler hat and the clown, like white clown makeup with the 5 o'clock shadow and the red nose and the
hobos used to be cool, dude.
Yeah, right. With the stick with the red handkerchief bag on the back of it, yeah. and like baggy trousers and oversized shoes, like clown hobo. That was like a thing. It was like a whole thing. It got into like, I was Ernie one year for Halloween with the store-bought plastic face mask with the rubber band around the back and the flowing.
Oh, I remember those.
There you go. There you go. And it went from there. And then I kind of discovered that I really liked the spooky, scary, haunted house type of thing. And I don't remember how that came up. I just know I liked it. And so
you're just like, evil.
Yeah, I'm satanic is what it is.
You might be evil. I don't know.
But I might be evil. But yeah. And so then I started getting into more of the spooky stuff. And one year I went to Walmart and they had all these Halloween makeup and stuff, and they had like a fake nose, but it was for a werewolf costume. You came with a little kit with spirit gum, and you glued it on your nose, and it was like wrinkly and weird.
Spirit gum? What is that?
It's like
it's adhesive for it's makeup.
Yeah,
glue. Yeah, it's makeup adhesive for putting prosthetics.
Effects makeup.
Yeah,
it's a pain.
But I took that and I glued it to my face and I did my makeup. There you go. Spirit gum. I did. I made a costume for my elementary school, like Halloween costume parade that we'd have like the day before Halloween in the gym, and everybody would put on their costume and we'd, you know, walk around the gym, small town USA. Anyway. and I just made up this costume. I had this idea that the hunchback, I guess not the hunchback of Notre Dame, but a hunchback was a hideous
Igor.
Zombie-like, gory.
Oh, yeah, like an Igor.
Yeah, like Igor, you know, type of thing. And so I took a bicycle helmet and I stuck it in my shirt and I did my makeup really zombie-like and put this fake nose on. And I think I had some fake teeth and I just walked around like, you know, brains. I need a brain for my master or something. And that is one of my earliest memories of like being active in creating something spooky for Halloween. And then it just took off from there. And, you know, all the spooky movies, as I mentioned on this show before, I like more of the supernatural type of spooky, ghosts and goblins and witches and vampires and possessions and all that kind of stuff. Slashers, I enjoy. I don't get into them as much. I love a good slasher. By the way, Totally Killer on Amazon, if anybody has watched that. Have you watched Totally Killer?
Oh.
Yes.
Literally, all you need to know is the elevator pitch. It's Scream meets Back to the Future. That's it.
That's exactly what it is. From the folks who brought you Happy Death Day, which was a great slasher film.
And I like it better than Happy Death Day, to be honest.
Ones I haven't seen is Happy Death Day.
Mm. You don't even need to watch it. Go watch Totally Killer on Amazon.
Okay.
It's good.
Noted.
It's really good.
But yeah, that's kind of my history of like spooky, scary Halloween. And then it's just been my favorite holiday every year, like next to Christmas. Like,
yep.
Christmas is like the complete opposite almost.
Mm-hmm.
Although one real quick note, and I know I'm blathering on, but one quick note in the song, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year, generally made famous by Andy Williams. It's the most wonderful time of the year, the Christmas song. In one part, he sings, there'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glory of Christmas as long, long ago. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So that used to be a thing at Christmas.
Ghost stories.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's
why we have a Christmas carol. Charles Dickens wrote that because that was really common to tell ghost stories at Christmas.
Ghost stories used to be a huge tradition at Christmas, and I had no idea. And
let's bring it back.
Let's bring it back. I'm down.
No, I love that. And we're going to talk about that briefly tonight, but I do want to say, when we talk about Halloween's past, yes, Lily, I miss, well, for one thing, I miss trick-or-treating. I love trick, but the big giant candy bars you used to get, you know, now they just, people give out what? I was about to say a bag of Skittles, but now that they've been outlawed in California, probably not. But I just, I was never a fan of like.
Everything fun gets outlawed.
Like, I don't chewy candy. I don't like hard candy.
What's your favorite candy that you get at Halloween?
Kit Kats. Yes.
Kit Kats. That is really? The right
Reese's.
Button.
Reese's. Reese's.
Kit Kats and peanut M&Ms, but I eat peanut M&Ms like crazy. So.
All right. Real quick. I'm just going to tell you, my love of Halloween, I blame it 100% on my parents.
Yeah.
They did this to me. That's my set. That's me. I'm the Frankenstein's monster. My brother, Scott, sitting there. And this was later on. I think I've shared before my very first Halloween. My mom and dad thought it was funny to dress me up like a girl for 2 years in a row. They thought that was funny. I'm still not. Wait. Lily still goes trick or treat. That's awesome, Lily. I think everybody should go until you get arrested.
I saw someone share something on social media this week saying, like, hey, like, if someone comes to your house that's like a teenager or maybe an age that you don't think is appropriate for trick or treating, like, they're choosing to be a child for the night instead of like any of the many parties they could be going to. Yep. And I was like, that was kind of a cool outlook on it, because I know there's a lot of like, you can't go trick or treating when you're not a kid, but I kind of like that because it is true. It is kind of like bringing you back to like childhood.
Well, so, what was the meme? I saw some kind of meme recently that was like, Halloween gets it right. Like, strangers show up, you give freely to them when they come to your door, and there's no judgment. They're dressed weird and you don't care. That's how it got it right.
I mean, it's like caroling at Christmas. However, holidays are more similar than we want to recognize.
Like, you don't have to think about that.
Let's talk a little bit about the history, because it's not always been so altruistic. You know, according to history.com, Halloween is a holiday celebrated each year, you know, on October 31st. And the tradition originated with the ancient Celtic festival of
Samhain. If you say Samhain,
it's not Samhain.
Over there, Heather will show up in your room and slap you.
Yes, it's Heather is a
our Irish friend Heather will
send a bang for you.
Samhain was when people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off the ghosts. It's when they felt that the barrier between the spiritual world and the physical world was the thinnest. In the 8th century, Pope Gregory III designated November 1st as a time to honor All Saints. Soon, All Saints Day incorporated some of the traditions of Samhain. The evening before was known as All Hallows Eve and later Halloween. Over time, Halloween evolved into a day of activities like trick-or-treating, carving jack-o'-lanterns, festive gatherings, donning costumes, and eating treats. You know where the trick-or-treating came from?
I've heard some things. But
I have all these historical
documents. Yeah.
It's the ancient, I don't know if it was ancient, but the European, like 500 years ago, European tradition of the poor and needy going door to door asking for a certain kind of biscuit, like souls, what they call them, soul cakes.
Yeah, right about soul cakes.
And then the children started doing it, and it became where they would go and they would ask for these cakes, these pastries, and in exchange, the needy children would get the pastries, but they would pray for the souls of the dead who have passed on for the people who gave it to them. Later on, though, it became where, you know, we have to give them something, otherwise they're going to do something bad to us. Evil spirits will. And it was kind of it kind of all comes back to what we're used to today. But anyways, the history of Halloween has been, you know, it did start as the Celtic holiday, the Celtic pagan traditions. It transformed into what it is now. We came to America with the Irish, who during the potato famine, a whole lot of Irish folks came over and they brought the traditions of Halloween with them. But instead of carving a turnip, we started carving pumpkins, and it just kind of grew from there. It started off as parties. It was more of an adult holiday. And then during like the 40s and 50s, it kind of became very children centric. And then look where we are now. I would argue that it is returning to its adult roots. And I don't know how I feel about that, but
I think there's one tradition. I think it's in Wales where a guy wearing a horse skull for a mask just shows up at your house and barges in, and he refuses to leave until you've given him enough beer that he's satisfied. And then he leaves your house. It's a terrible recollection of what this tradition is, but I think it's Welsh. Pretty sure it's Welsh.
I'm going to search for that while we're
talking. Check it out.
All right. I'm going to do our research here.
As Halloween gained popularity stateside, unique methods of celebration began cropping up. Parties by the 1930s were the standard fare. And by the 1950s, they had moved away from big downtown locations to house parties. So, you know, 1950s was all about the parties. And then, let me see, bobbing for apples was like a fortune-telling thing. there's a lot of fortune telling. And the tradition, one of the traditions that we've lost during Halloween, it used to be a night where women looking for their future husbands could divinations and different fortune tellers could help them find their husbands so that they would have it by the next Halloween. That was one of the traditions. It's kind of strange. In the 1960s, that's when America first started using the large pumpkins that we have today, a pumpkin bread, especially for Halloween. And then I'm just reading some stuff here. And then the Monster Mash Halloween music started in full in 1962, followed by Haunted House and I Put a Spell on You. And then Halloween spending started. Costumes used to look like this. Costumes used to be homemade. Then costumes became these 1970s and 80s Cooper window box costumes. And now we're back to the full masks that we have now. So soul cakes. The soul cakes are what kids used to beg for. And then
I'm going to make some soul cakes.
Yeah. The rise of the latex mask in the 90s in response to some scares. And Derek, you kind of like were half joking about, razor blades in the candy and stuff, but that was a real concern for folks during the 70s and 80s. It was a something that was going around. And then in the 90s, it was during the 80s, they had the Tylenol poison scare. And then so in the 90s, the rise of trunk-or-treat events happened and mall trick-or-treatings, where a lot of the trick-or-treating get off the streets and started happening in parking lots. Churches started doing a lot of stuff during this time. And then the rise of the haunted house. It used to be, I think it was Young Life on college campuses. Was it Young Life or there's another Christian organization? It was Young Life.
Campus Crusade, maybe?
Yeah, Campus Crusade.
Crusade. They started the haunted houses on college campuses. Eventually, it became the JCs started the haunted houses all across the country. And then gradually, it became what we have today, these giant corporate, I love them, these corporate haunt events at theme parks and whatnot. So that's where we are. I just want to ask you guys a question. And we have a couple of questions here. What's this?
I was laughing at Lily's comment earlier.
Divination to get a husband for next year? Bring that back!
Do it.
I'm going to put my student loans in the candy this year. I hear you there. I hear you there, John.
That's deadly.
So what do you guys think? What do you think has, if you had to give your best guess, what has been one of the reasons for Halloween becoming, in the 50s and 60s, very child-focused, even the 80s, very child-focused, but it seems to have become a very adult-focused holiday now. What do you think happened?
Okay, so I think one of those reasons is because us millennials and before who really grew up doing all these things are very nostalgic people. So we're still going to want to connect with that childhood side of us that loved Halloween. So I think that has something to do with it because that's like the generations that are kind of growing up with Halloween. I think that's one reason. And then I think the other reason is because everybody likes making an excuse to be someone else for a night.
Interesting.
So, that's just my opinion.
No, there are no wrong opinions here. Except for yours, Katie. That was not right.
I know.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You mean better someone Derek. Else? I mean, what come on. Ben doesn't understand. He's not an actor, you know.
Well, my opinion is Satan.
okay, yeah.
Maybe,
I think Katie, I agree pretty strongly with her opinion. I think it really connects to the popularity of comic book conventions.
Yes.
Comic-Con.
Yes, I agree with you.
I think it's generational, particularly in the United States, we had these generations of families and people who, they went through a lot of hard times. From the beginning of our history through the Great Depression and World War II and et cetera, that lingered on through the 50s almost. And then you had culturally in America this almost relaxing after World War II, and it was one of the biggest economic times for our country. And so it turned more into the culture turned more into a, maybe I want to say work hard, play hard type of thing. Like, you know, so there was more of an emphasis on being able to do things for leisure time. Mm-hmm. And I think holidays, you know, you look at both Christmas and Halloween, completely blew up. Like, Christmas used to be like, Christmas Eve was when you put up your Christmas decorations and your Christmas tree, right? Like, now it's like, I can't, Target has a 6-foot wide section of Halloween stuff on sale, and everything else is Christmas now. It's still October. Uh-huh. And they started that, putting all the Halloween stuff on sale, like September 30th.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised Halloween that you can stuff. Find any Halloween stuff in Target.
Halloween stuff hit the shelves.
Not anymore. It goes fast.
Yeah, Halloween stuff hit the shelves in like June.
Yep.
And so it's I think the expansion of an emphasis on play, on leisure over the last half century in American culture. I think it's the emphasis on certainly economic capitalism, like here's something people like, let's get it out there. But I also think Katie's right. It's like generational. As you got kids being born in the late 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and technology expansion making life theoretically easier for us, you know, it brought us into a place where we can enjoy a lot more stuff immediately. Like, I don't have to call the JCPenney catalog and wait 3 months for my Halloween costume to arrive. I can order it on Amazon and it's at my doorstep tomorrow morning.
I just got a notification. I have an Amazon delivery waiting for me right now. It's squirrel repellent, so I can spray my pumpkins so that the squirrels don't eat them.
Those little bastards.
You should blame Luke for that. He's the one making friends with the squirrels. Just saying.
It's his fault. No, but Dan, Ben, I think you're exactly right. We can't ignore the increasing level of disposable income that is available right now that was not available even just 20 years ago, you know, 30 years ago. And I think that contributes to it. I think the delayed adulthood of a generation is a big one.
I think that's a big part of it too.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Derek?
I think that is a big part of it. So much of some newer generation, it's like, it took longer. And for those of us that did eventually, you know, get married and start our own family, it has taken longer for a lot of us.
Yeah.
There are lots of things contributing to that culturally. You know, we're just seeing that kind of shift. And me wanting to get extra philosophical, I do wonder too, if, you know, this growth in wanting to hold on to something, some kind of element of fantasy, of magic, of the supernatural in some way, things that we deal with, not only, well, with conventions and with all our nerd fantasy stuff that we're into, and with Christmas and with Halloween, I think we see a lot more people getting into those things. When at the same time, culturally, religion is less popular. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know that it could be a little bit of a stretch, but on every census in recent decades, we've seen a real growth in people who mark their religious preference as none. People want to say, I'm spiritual, but not religious. That's becoming more and more common to hear people say that. So a lot fewer people are tapping into this idea of there being a supernatural in their everyday life. And I wonder if maybe because a lot of people don't have that all the time because they're not, you know, they're not regular attendees at a church. They're not involved in some regular religious practice. Maybe that leads people to want to find that meaning and that sense of the supernatural somewhere else. And so people get really into things like Harry Potter, which I love, of course, Star Wars. You know, some people are like actually referring to themselves as Jedis on censuses now. And then getting into holidays.
Did you guys watch all of Ahsoka? Oh my gosh, it was so good.
I haven't watched any of it yet.
Keep going.
But then also getting into holidays like Halloween and Christmas, where there is that sense of childlike enchantment. And you see this, I think, in Christmas movies like, you know, Elf, where it's all about just believing in something. Which, you know, as adults, we don't believe in Santa Claus, really. I do believe in the actual Santa
Claus. Watch your mouth.
I love the stories of the real St. Nicholas and what he did, you know, giving gifts to kids and slapping heretics at councils. I mean,
me and Eeyore believe.
Yeah.
Oh, those Turks.
I know, right? But I think all that kind of thing is interesting, and that might be part of the cultural shift we've seen too. Like, people want some kind of magic or some, at least some kind of supernatural in their lives, so they turn to more of this stuff and want to just be able to pretend, you know.
I think that, just to piggyback off of what Derek was saying, I think is, as far as people marking religious preference lower on census, you know, if you don't have a religious belief or some sort of, you know, regardless of what it is, whatever religion it is, if you're not subscribing to it, the idea of fantasy, the idea of the supernatural becomes much more entertaining, I would imagine.
And
that's something you can latch on to as escapism.
But I do want to throw this in there, though. There's a big chunk of us. I count myself as a group of, are still very religious, very committed to my church. But oh my gosh, I love Halloween, you know? Yeah.
So, I mean, I was just postulating about a general.
No, Derek, I don't think you're wrong. I think that's a big contributor. I think 50 years ago when San Diego Comic-Con started, and this whole this proliferation of Comic-Cons in the last 10 years, it was exploded. In the last 10 years, Halloween for adults exploded. Hey, look, here's some proof. Well, here's some facts to support what we're saying right here. It's not just adults, but the growth of the Halloween industry. According to the National Retail Federation, total Halloween spending is expected to reach a record this year, a record of $12.2 billion. That exceeds last year's record of $10.6 billion. So last year set the record. This year we're setting it again. A record number of people, 73%, will participate in Halloween-related activities this year, up from last year. Of course, this is still behind the Christmas spend, which according to Forbes is $886 billion. So we got a little ways to go there. 69% of people celebrating Halloween plan to buy costumes, which is up from 67% last year. Total spending on costumes, $4.1 billion. Oh my gosh. Total spending on decorations.
Is that of the $12 billion? It's $4,000.
Yeah, that's of the $12 billion. So the $12 billion is all that. So a third of it is on costumes. $3.9 billion of it is on decorations. And then spending on adult costumes is expected to increase 18% to $2 billion. So $2 billion is adult costumes. $1.4 billion is children's costumes. And $700 million is what kind of costumes? Pets.
Oh, of course.
How much of that is candy? And,
so here, I'm going to show you this right here. Here are the top 2023 costumes for this year for children, pets, and adults. Looking for adults, I'm kind of surprised. A witch is still, you know, you look down the list.
They're easy. That's why.
Sexy witch.
But I thought it was going to be Barbie, and you know, but Barbie number three.
Yeah. So this is, I have this, I could go on it. I'm not going to go on a rant on this, but the reason those are the top costumes for adults is because, I'm not trying to throw shade at people, but they're easy. And people who are not creatively in creative fields, like they go for easy. They go for things that everyone does. And those things are all those.
Well, let me just real quick do the top 10 adult costumes, starting at number one. Number one is witch, then vampire, then Barbie, Batman, cat, zombie, pirate, princess, ghost, Spider-Man. And the top three for children, Spider-Man, princess, ghost, number four, superhero, and number five is witch. So, of course, the top three for pets, pumpkin for number one, a hot dog number two, and a bat for number three. Oh, I love that. That's so great.
We need to bring back the bed sheet ghost. That's what we need to bring back.
Yeah.
Yep. Just the two holes sheet.
Here's some other things from our past that are that I think people have gone very nostalgic for this year. Did you guys see the
plane? Yes.
For those of you who are listening, I'm showing a picture of, what am I showing a picture of? Who wants to go for it?
The classic McDonald's Halloween trick-or-treating buckets with the pumpkin, the Frankenstein, the vampire, and the mummy on them. One of them was a ghost one time, too, but that's not shown in this picture.
No. Last year was a ghost, a goblin, and a pumpkin.
They had a witch with a little pointy hat that you could unscrew to put the candy in.
There was a ghost and a goblin or something.
But it's the nostalgia factor, you know. The millennials right now, we're in our 30s and 40s, and we have careers, some of us, and and we have disposable income, and companies are capitalizing on that. Uh-huh. You can capitalize on nostalgia. It's the same reason I believe that Comic-Con has blown up in the last 10 years. And I love it. You know, I'm part of that. Am I part of the problem? I don't know.
Is it a problem? I don't know if it's a problem. Here, let me go through some pictures real quick just to talk about where we are today with Halloween. Okay, so McDonald's playing on a nostalgia factor. All right, another nostalgia factor. Apple Plus Television now has the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. As everybody knows, I'm a big fan. I'm wearing the hat right now. Yes. I'm having a Halloween party that you're all invited to called the Great Pumpkin Halloween Party on Halloween night. We're all going to sit out in a pumpkin patch. It's Jim's pumpkin patch. Anyways,
is it the most sincere?
It is the most sincere. I don't have pictures. Whoa, wait. There's my shirt. I went to a pumpkin patch in Santa Barbara. It's the
you brought pumpkin. A pumpkin patch in Santa Barbara, Jim?
Oh, I wish. But it was the best pumpkin patch. Cheeseman went with me. He was look at the size of these pumpkins there. So, anyways,
I didn't send you guys my pictures at the pumpkin patch yet. I'll have to do that for like next week, maybe, or after Halloween.
Here's my living room right now. There's part of my pumpkin patch. That's the artificial ones. There's Charlie Brown. He is sitting there. But one of the things that I loved this year that I have done, and I have a video to share in just a second, is I didn't know
you were going to kill it.
No, it's all. Oh, I know. I love it. Anyways, but one of the activities that I got excited about this year was the Los Angeles Haunted Hayride. This is the group I went with. A group of us went there, and it felt like a throwback to the 80s. I love it so much because it was out. I mean, you won't know that you're in the middle of Los Angeles when you're at this hayride, and I've got a video to share from it. There's something about it that is very nostalgic. So for me, Halloween right now is exploding. It's going through the roof. I got one more piece of data that is interesting. Passage Event Ticketing Company, it operates the Haunt Pay. It's like the ticketing company for most haunts in the country. They did a survey, and it's from 215 haunted attractions plus 215 haunted attraction owners and 1,300 haunted attractions. They found out that 33% of haunts reporting that they expect to see 5,000 to 10,000 guests this year. Each. That's pretty good. Last year, the majority of respondents had 1,000 to 5,000 guests. So they're jumping way up this year. Haunted attractions are growing in popularity, are no longer limited to the season of Halloween, which is interesting. Fewer than 3% of the respondents said that they were only open during the fall. Instead, nearly 17% were open for Krampus, aka Christmas holiday events. 15% open on Friday the 13th. 11% were open for zombie prom. I don't know what that is. I guess it's during the fall sometime. And 11% were open year round. So that's the growth. That's the growth of the haunt industry. So we're going to talk about haunts here for a second. Katie, yeah. You went to a couple of haunts. Can you tell us about Not Scary?
Yeah. So this would have been third or fourth time I've been to a Scary Farm. I can't remember exactly. I went last year and I went this year. If you guys are familiar with Knott's Scary Farm, it's obviously at Knott's Berry Farm in Halloween. It is the scary version of, like, if you go during the daytime, they call it Knott's Spooky Farm because it's family friendly, but after dark is when the monsters come out. They've also had this iconic show the start of every Scary Farm called The Hanging Ceremony, where they do a little show and they like hang someone who's popular in pop culture or politics or whatever, but they stopped doing it because it became too controversial. But they're doing
it again. I was there the year they did the last one, and you know, because every year they hang something, and mm-hmm. I was there and they were. Did this whole show, then they did the hanging at they revealed the hanging, and the hanging was the hanging show. So they had killed it.
But they took it away because it basically got canceled for people got in upset and controversial, but it came back this year. It's just in a different area than at the very beginning of the
the hanging's back. That's so it exciting.
Yeah, they've been roasting the Fantasmic Dragon. Anyway,
I think he roasted himself.
Yeah, so it used to be like in the main part of the park. Now it's not. I think because that was what one of the complaints was. I didn't get to see that. It was not there the night that I went. But I like Scary Farm. It's probably ranked like, I'm going to still count Queen Mary on my list of rankings. If you're including Queen Mary and Six Flags, I'm going to put it at number three.
Ben, I got to throw this back in there. You know how I said 50 years ago start Comic-Con? You know what else started 50 years ago, Katie? 1963? No, 1960. Oh, whatever. What was 50 years?
Here's the thing.
It was not Scary Farm. Not Scary Farm started 50 years ago this year.
Yeah, so, this is the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, it's the very first of the big ones.
I heard a radio advertisement the other day, and they were saying it's 50 years of Not Scary Farm. And in my brain, I was like, oh, 50 years ago, like the 1950s. And then I was like, no, that's the 1970s. That's not how it
works anymore. Yeah.
That's a problem.
Oh my gosh.
We have. I still think 20 years ago is, you know, the 80s. So it's not. But so I'd say it's number three of four of the four main haunts that I would say here in Southern California. I don't really count the Haunted Hayride because I've never been there, but I know that that is considered one of them. This year it was solid. We did get to go on almost all the mazes. There's a few that we didn't go to because we'd been on them in them before, or we just didn't have time for, but we went through most of them. So we had a lot of fun. I'm trying to remember. It was a long time ago. It was like in September. So I'm trying to remember like what my favorite was, but there was a couple new ones that were fun.
Katie, remember this one?
Was that a Queen Mary?
That's Queen Mary. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. So, I thought you were talking about your favorite haunts.
Well, my favorite,
your favorite houses from. Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly, I'm not going to lie. Scary Farm is a little bit of a blur. It was fun, but like I never really, they did scare me really well one time where I almost like fell. So they did get that. Usually they don't scare me a lot at Scary Farm. Universal's does better at that. But my favorite haunt is Queen Mary Dark Harbor.
Yeah, by far.
Which unfortunately is not happening for the last 2 years because of all the damage that the Queen Mary has taken.
But Shacktoberfest has been there.
Yeah, but they weren't able to use the ship because the ship's being like renovated.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Dark Harbor will ever come back, but that was my favorite. Going on a maze that is on the Queen Mary, which if you guys know, there's so much history of hauntings and everything.
Haunted. About Mary.
But even without that, it is creepy to walk through the
like
steerage areas of the ship and like the pool areas of the ship after dark. And it's creepy. But they also have hidden bars in all the mazes at Queen Mary. So I do hope the Dark Harbor comes back in some capacity. I don't know that it will, unfortunately, but that was my favorite one. And it's the most adult-driven one, I would say, of the four main haunts.
Yeah.
If you do find younger people there, they're very much horror people. Like, but I don't even remember. It's hard. They don't have a lot of younger because there is a alcohol-heavy portion to Dark Harbor. There's also a hookah lounge at Dark Harbor. So, like, it is a more adult oriented.
Did you say a hookah lounge? They had a hookah lounge?
Yeah, they did every single year.
I only went that 1 year with you.
Yeah, no, they do. Every year they have a hookah lounge.
I don't remember that, but I do remember loving Dark Harbor. I loved, like you said, most of the mazes had a secret offshoot that you could find a bar in the middle. Yep. You're going through a haunted maze and you can take a break. Sometimes they
just put you into it and you don't know that you're going. You have to like know there's like only certain ways to get to the bar. Like we went the wrong, we went through one door instead of another door and ended up in the bar. So
it's just the weirdest thing, but I love it. I absolutely love it. And let me get it. And we'll just speed up a little bit here. What about Halloween Horror Nights Hollywood? Because I'm going to compare it to Orlando because I have some thoughts on the Orlando one.
Well, I don't want to spoil Hollywood Horror Nights for you.
I'm going Wednesday.
You're going on Wednesday, so maybe we can talk more about it later, but I do have notes. I was literally getting out of the houses and like writing notes.
Yeah.
All I need to say is, and Jim, you have to go. You have to promise me you will go. It has been the number one ranked attraction so far in Hollywood, which is Purge Dangerous Waters. It's been the number one ranked experience at Horror Nights this year.
Is that the tram?
No, that is the live action stunt show that is taking place at Waterworld.
Oh.
Yeah. So they're doing, if you guys follow, if you guys know Universal Studios, they've had the longest running stunt show, Waterworld, during the day for long time now. This year they have a Purge themed show. Where
just at nighttime though, right?
There is blood. So disclaimer, there is blood in this show.
Good.
It's so fantastic. Like, yeah, it's obviously like the cheesiest but most wonderful thing at the same time. So you do see, you know, basically the higher ups of the that are usually safe from the Purge is basically hiding out, and then of course stuff happens. But they utilized a space that they've never utilized for a show during Horror Nights, and brought an actual Horror Nights themed show to Horror Nights, which
I love that.
Because usually we're just getting the, you know, the jump scares, the environment, things like that. And, you know, they had Jabberwockies, but that wasn't themed to Halloween. You know, they were masks.
Get rid of the Jabberwockies. Jabberwocky. What's the
thing was pretty much the only Halloween thing about it. And, you know, it's great. It's fun to have that.
Jim, it's Jabberwockies. There's no Jabba. R. There's no R in it.
Wait, what's the Lewis Carroll poem?
Jabberwocky. That's Jabberwocky, but the dance group is called Jabberwockies.
Jabba, Jabba, Jabba.
But
Shaquille O'Neal is in it.
What?
I'm
going to go now.
To Horror Nights yet, and you're still going to it, I highly recommend it. We made sure there's only, I think, four shows a night, so they do post the show times at the front of the venue, so you want to kind of plan your night accordingly. But honestly, here's the thing, and I know Jim is going to disagree with me, and some other people will disagree with me. I never pay for Fastlane. I never pay for Express. To me, it is not worth the money.
But not this year. I will not pay this year. It's too expensive.
I went through everything but three mazes I went through without the Express Pass. And I went on a Saturday night, like 2 weeks ago.
Wow. Which ones did you skip?
I skipped The Exorcist.
Yep.
I skipped Evil Dead. And I skipped, what's the third one? Tram.
Oh, you skipped the tram. The tram takes like an hour by itself.
Tram, because it closes early, it's hard to time it. And it didn't, the tram is not my favorite thing. Ones that did surprise me and did really appreciate, Monsters of Latin America.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
So good. We walked right on, right when the doors opened. There's no way it was the best decision because we hit it right. So most people go straight to lower lot. We did upper lot first, then went down to lower lot because everybody went straight to Stranger Things first. The line was like 3 hours long when we got there. By the time we were on it at the end of the night, it was an hour.
Here's the deal. In Florida, they had 10 haunted houses. No, I think in Florida, their mazes out here, they're haunted houses, or is it the other way around? I don't, either way. Because here they had 7, right? In Florida, they had 10.
They always have more in Florida, yeah.
I did not buy the front of line pass. It was crazy busy, but I did all but 2 of them. You know what?
So I skipped. Again, your time seems right. Yeah.
You know what I skipped? Stranger Things and Last of Us, Least of Us.
Oh, Last of Us is so good. It was so good. I love it.
Really?
Yes. But I'm also terrified of clickers, so that's another story for
I've never seen the show or played the video game, so I was like, fungus zombies.
I played enough of the video game to see the clickers. So,
all right.
But I know we have to cut it a little bit short, but yeah, I loved it. They brought back the Death Eaters in Hogsmeade, which is a great addition that they did last year, and it's really fun if you're a Harry Potter fan. They did still have the bar open there, things like that. So it was really fun to kind of walk through there. One thing I will mention, Universal Studios Hollywood liked to do water bits a lot, where they would spray you with water in the mazes this year. So heads up that you will get sprayed with water. Emily and I both just like literally looked right at it right when it sprayed. And we were just like, well, that happened. Yeah. Not a big fan of like gags like that. It's not my thing. But aside from that, I really enjoyed it. It put me in the spooky season because up until that, we weren't really feeling the spooky season. So, but I thought it was fun. Stranger Things was fun.
Andy said I missed out on a masterpiece. I think he's talking about Last of Us. I'm going to go to the maze. I will make sure that's one of the mazes I do have to go to. Yes.
That's Jonathan, one of the longer waits.
Starring Pedro Pascal.
But, well, it's actually, well, it is based off of the video game.
Video game and not the TV show. Right.
Okay.
But Pedro was there, I think, possibly the night I was there. And I, you know.
Really?
So let me do this real quick.
I know that for sure.
Real quick, I am going to share. Oh, you think I would have this ready to go. I'm going to share real quick a video from Halloween Horror Nights Orlando. So Orlando right here. No, not that one. And go. So for those of you just watched, this is just kind of entering into going through the smoke, going through one of the scares. Just to kind of give us an idea of what we got. And if you guys haven't been to Universal Orlando,
people on the hill.
We came early in the night, but this is when it had getting dark, and it doesn't look super crowded, but it kind of got crowded. This is the front of the park though, and this is one of the first scare zones you go through. While people can watch this, I'm gonna turn this sound down just a little bit, and just kind of give here's my opinion of Universal Orlando. That's kind of a great mask. I love it.
That's cool.
That's so cool. Universal Orlando it's hard to beat them. They're just they're big. They got so much theme park ability there to build out great big stuff. What a great costume this woman's wearing right here, this giant scorpion.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
In the past 20 years, I have probably missed I've missed going to this park maybe once. Once or twice in the last 20, 25 years. You know, they used to be, I'm just gonna say, there used to be so much more to these events. It's cool, they got all these characters walking around a little bit, but no one's really, is there anyone scary here? No, we're just all walking around with our phones. I think we're kind of ruining it for ourselves. So I can't completely blame the theme park, but the one thing that I was a little bit disappointed in, and I'm going to just play one more video while I talk. One of the things that I'm a little bit... Orlando, here we go. No. Okay, this is coming in at nighttime, Katie. So you're going to see how... I turned the sound down a little bit. Yeah, it just wasn't super crowded. It looks a little bit kind of crowded. It wasn't quite as fun. Universal Orlando used to have the Halloween parade. They used to have big floats. Every single line that you waited in to get into attractions, to get into haunted houses, they would have sideshows and freak shows, the old-fashioned, you know, lady in a box with spiders crawling all over her, some guy on the stage nailing nails up his nose, just stupid stuff. But, like, they used to entertain me like that. This year, it just seemed like they did 10 haunted houses, and that was it. Like, I mean, this isn't scary. I love Universal Studios. I love Universal Studios Hollywood. I love Universal Studios Orlando. Oh, yeah. But I just didn't. I don't know. Oh, that's one of the. I think I don't know what that is. But
it's got to be great for people just getting the audio version.
Oh, and there that guy looks like Mr. Facilier from Princess and the Frog. He was the mascot of the haunt this year, which was weird. They do have a couple of things on the set. Whatever. I don't know what I'm looking at there. Oh, here's this cool little dead man sitting on the side. You walk up to him, and then nothing. I mean, how boring is that? There was a lot of that. I don't want to complain too much, but it didn't feel like the experience I've had in years past, where every ounce of the park is packed with stuff. You walk through the scare zones. They have, if we have time, I'll just leave us on one when we leave the show tonight, but. Or I'll put it on social media, but yeah. I love Halloween Horror Nights. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I love going to Orlando. I'm looking forward to going to this one. The one thing that has changed in these past years is Mr. John Murdy is working with the folks down in Orlando. They have about four houses that are like the same house, like Stranger Things, Last of Us, Monsters Unmasked. And there's a fourth one, right? I think. So they're starting to, like, people like me that go to both coasts, there's not a reason to do it anymore, I think. But we'll see. I don't want to act like I'm just all negative because I did have a good time. It was a good time. I really enjoyed it. And I'll go back next year and I'll come back and I'll complain about it. Oh, you bought the special cup, which gave you a double cocktail for every single cocktail you bought. Sounds like a good deal. I bought the cup, which was kind of pricey. And then it was almost impossible to find any bar in the park that would take the special. They had to be special bars, the pop-up bars. You couldn't go to the regular bars. And I'm like, they had to pull me back. I was like, where do you have this written down? Where is this policy that I've been running? Jim, calm down. I mean, it was one. There's one more thing I do want to show. And this because Jonathan.
Like, I need my liquor.
I know. Jonathan just said that he might be going as, what's the guy's name? Oh, David Pumpkins.
Yeah, David S. Pumpkins.
David S. Pumpkins.
Who is that? You don't know who David S. Pumpkin is?
Jim. That is either.
Jim.
Is it this guy right here?
Ben, we're going to have to send him a link later. Wait.
No, look.
Yes.
Preguntas? It's
awesome. Yeah.
What's my name?
Are you Harpo?
I'm David Pumpkins.
There
I'm
goes.
Gonna scare you stupid.
Oh.
Now watch this.
Woo, yeah. That was him.
It's not as effective without the two dancing skeletons.
It's not.
So Jim, if you're not aware, and Derek, I guess, as well. Yeah. David Pumpkins is a sketch from Saturday Night Live starring America's dad, Tom Hanks, as Andy Harrow has just informed us. And it became a cult, one of those cult classic SNL sketches that, you know, like randomly Tom Hanks would come back and do.
He came back last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah. And it's the stupidest thing ever. He's like not a scary character. The whole sketch is about how he's not scary, but he keeps popping up in these haunted houses. So that's David Pumpkins. We'll have to send you some links. It's really funny because of just how stupid it is.
Yeah,
and it's Tom Hanks. Like, you can't
go wrong. You have to love it anyway.
Okay, guys, and just because we are kind of running long, there's two last things I got to show you. One's the hayride. I did go to the hayride, the haunted hayride. It's a little bit dark in spots, but I'll show you one of the hayride experiences we had. It's really cool. LA's haunted hayride.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's cool.
That's pretty cool.
I just thought that's so cool.
That's really fun.
I love that.
I love the haunted hayride. Watch that. They terrify you.
This is already better than what I saw from the
You're also really
Universal Studios Orlando footage.
Okay, real quick, last hayride video. It was the only haunted thing I've done this year that really surprised me. And it's this right here. This was so cool. Again, a little bit dark, but you'll see it. For those of you listening, we're in a hayride. We're going through a dark spot here. It's a dark tunnel, yeah. And they come right out. It was a crow or something. So watch this.
Oh, he's look at him.
Turn around and it crawls up onto the back of the truck.
He got on the truck. Oh my gosh.
But that's not it. Okay, turn back around. There we go. This, check out this barn we're going into. It's filled up with all the wood. I know it's.
Look this back.
Oh, geez. Oh, geez. Oh.
So right now we're going through this barn. We're looking above our heads at something hanging, and then this happens. Wait, what is this?
Oh, check it out.
We got a ladder.
This guy comes.
Yep.
Suspended above our heads, flying around, and he throws a head at us. I just thought that was the best. That was the best effect. There's more to that video, but I'm not going to show it all. I loved it. Like, he came catapulting out of the barn, and he's right over us, and then he throws a head at us. It was great.
And Not Scary Farm uses bungee jumpers and some of their mazes too.
Yeah. All right, Derek, I want you to show us, and I'm going to go through it, and then we're going to close. Luke Cheeseman is in Vegas and has a video, real short video of something he did that's kind of cool. All right, Derek, I am going to pull up, and then we're going to close. Final thoughts. Be thinking, folks. Final thoughts on the state of Halloween today. Katie and Ben, be thinking about that. All right. So, Derek, you are showing me some of the decorations that you guys are doing at your house, right?
Yeah, and we don't always go, like, super out for Halloween, but we thought we could do some this year that we could actually leave up through Christmas.
Oh, wait.
Is it working?
Oh, wait. It is, but desktop. Your lovely, lovely wife sent me a picture. Okay, here we go.
Oh, good.
Right here. Okay, I'm loading it. We can talk while we no. So okay.
By the way, if you've noticed, I'm dipping out every once in a while. I'm single parenting my dogs tonight because my wife is out with coworkers, and okay. So
you're just checking out.
If you hear growling in the background, that's monsters.
Nice. All right. So Derek, we're gonna start here. Tell us what we're looking at.
So this is our Stranger Things wall. We got the letters on Etsy and found the lights that would work. And then we didn't want to stick the letters right to our wall, so we found some poster paper that looked like a wall.
Oh, I think that looks great.
Yeah. Like, Derek, just again, this, you know, the first season of Stranger Things is set around Christmas time, so yeah. Use the Christmas lights.
I think that's one of the best set pieces from Stranger Things. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
This picture's a little dark, but Derek, can you tell me what it is we're looking at?
That is the Mothman.
That's what I thought, yard. Mothman.
Yeah, that is someone you know, actually, dressed as Mothman.
Is that a sampling there?
Oh, it might be. You might see this person at your party next weekend.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Chapstick. All right. Derek, walk us through this right here. We're looking at what?
Yeah, so these are all over the place. I'm seeing them advertised a lot on social media this year. They're just floating candles. They can that wand is a remote control to switch them on and off. Oh. And they come with the little fishing wire so you can hang them to do like the Hogwarts ceiling. So that's what we did. We saw this video on Instagram with links for some actual supplies that you could use. So we stuck the thick foam poster board to the ceiling and then had some strip lights that you can program to be different colors and to react to sound. And then we stuck some polyfill on so that we've got the ceiling of the Great Hall in our living room.
And then look at this. Nice. Look at that.
Yeah. I might have sent you some video, but that'd be a lot harder to upload.
Nope. I got the video right here. You did? The video is kind of small, but here, let me link to it.
Let's see if it works.
Okay.
Because what we like is you can, it'll react to sound and we can have it just flash like lightning.
Okay. Here we go. Please work. Is it working? Oh, wait.
I can hear it.
Oh, there we go.
Not very good quality, unfortunately, but.
Wait, let me.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah. That's cool.
So it's reacting to sound?
Nux. Yes.
Oh, that, and I see you're pointing the wand at it.
And that was Lara saying Nux, which is the, you know, when they light up their wand with Lumos, Nux is how you put it out.
So for those of you listening, basically what they've done is they've created this cloud texture on their ceiling with lights underneath it. Mm-hmm. Floating candles suspended in the air just below the clouds, and the clouds are flashing lightning along with Hedwig's theme from Harry Potter. John Williams, of course, one of the greatest film composers of our time.
And of course, I can't take credit for the idea since we saw this on Instagram, and I know Katie's done something like this before.
I did. That one kicks mine's butt. Mine I did like years ago when we like my two apartments ago or but we did that in our hallway, but mine were like a remote control and battery operated, and I just hung them up with thread, but mine did not have, like, you know, you guys did the polyfill thing, like that's really cool.
Oh, thanks. Jonathan, leave it up all year.
We just might leave it up all year. We definitely need to play some Hogwarts Battle under that. We're going to have some people over for D&D later. And
cool.
What you need to do, if you do it again, Derek, is get the little tiny plastic, like, jack-o'-lanterns to just put around it.
We did think about that. Have that up at Halloween and then just switch out for the candles after. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what's great is we got that on the ceiling and the Stranger Things alphabet on the wall. So, you know, it's very educational, very festive living room right now.
Perfect bridge. And we kind of skipped over something, but I just want to bring this up real quick. Perfect bridge into one of the things that is driving, I think, this explosion of Halloween is definitely TV and film. TV and film is really driving it. For example, Hulu's Halloween. Shudder, 61 Days of Halloween, AMC Fear Fest, all month long, Freeform's 31 Nights of Halloween, Sci-Fi, 31 Days of Halloween, Disney Channel's Monstober. I've never heard of that one.
That one's plus, new.
Paramount Plus has the coolest name because, you know, Paramount is a mountain. There's just Peak Screaming. Get it?
I get it.
And then, of course, like Netflix and Peacock have their special stuff. I just want to ask you guys. I think you guys know mine. I have two pieces of content that just drive me crazy. I love it so much. It's a great pumpkin, Charlie Brown. That's what it's all about. And also, the 1978 Halloween, which is celebrating its 45th birthday this year and is back in movie theaters this week to celebrate 45 years, along with Halloween 4 and 5. 4 is great, 5, But all right, real quick around here, and then we're going to go to Luke's video. Katie, do you have any TV specials or films that kind of help drive your Halloween passion?
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching Goosebumps right now. I have 2 episodes left that have aired. It's actually delightful.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting to watch episode 6 because one of my biggest fears is in that episode. And so I need to make sure it's not near bedtime when I watch it. but it's just fun, family, lighthearted horror. Like, it's not super, super intense. I mean, it's kind of intense, like more intense than like maybe people who like, my friend who hates horror likes it. So if that tells you guys anything, but it's fun. It's campy, it's tropey, but what do you expect from Goosebumps? But I'm enjoying it. But as far as traditions go, I always have to watch Halloween Town and Halloween Town 2, which I haven't watched yet, but I do need to watch them. And then sometime from Halloween until Christmas, I always have to watch Meet Me in St. Louis because that is one of the few movies that takes place at both Halloween and Christmas time. And there's a delightful scene on Halloween and Meet Me in St. Louis and then a heart-wrenching scene on Christmas. But it's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Movie's like 90 years old.
I guess there's a point of
It's also where the song Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas came from.
Oh.
Original. So. All right. Only time you'll hear me talk about Christmas before November 1st. Anyway.
The rule is you can't talk about Christmas before Halloween's over. It used to be before Thanksgiving's over, but we've given up on that one. Derek, anything special for you?
Oh, yeah. So usually on Halloween when we're getting trick-or-treaters, we'll have Hocus Pocus playing in the background. I grew up watching Ernest Scared Stupid and finally got Laura to watch that last year. She laughed at a couple of lines like, you know, you are the great redneck hope. Eartha Kitt is amazing in that one. And watching it again last year, I realized, you know, yeah, it's a really dumb movie, but it is great fun.
Jessica Clutch is agreeing, Katie.
I can appreciate
One of the two of you.
You know what? I'm just going to assume that she's agreeing with me that Ernest Scared Stupid is a dumb movie, but it is amazing. And, you know, Jim Varney, we lost way too soon. He was amazing. Yep. I guess I'm overusing that word, but yeah. And I did see a reference recently to Authentic Bulgarian Miak, just a joke ad, and I wish I could have something like that to have just as decoration for trick-or-treaters.
Miak. All right. Ben?
Of course, every year I have to do Great Pumpkin. You know, it's a tradition for me, and that is included in my earliest memories of Halloween, of course.
It's a weird cartoon.
It's
fantastic.
It's I love it so fantastic. Much. I love it.
Yeah. I recently watched the documentary Monster Inside, America's Most Extreme Haunted House. It follows Russ McCamey.
McCamey used to be out here.
The guy who does the extreme haunts that's basically just torturing people until they give up.
McCamey Manor used to be here in Southern California. Yeah, and he you have to sign this like 50-page waiver before you go through it.
Anyway, that man is certifiably insane.
Yes.
And nobody should ever have anything to do with him. So if you want to watch a documentary about this weird narcissistic torture person, it's very interesting.
Where's that at? Is it on Netflix?
I think it's on Netflix. I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix.
I mean, I saw something on him before, and like he has this weird idea that he's helping people to overcome their traumas by torturing them.
Yeah, we had that one guy on the show a few years ago who was talking about.
Oh, that's right. We had the guy on who did the hauntings who interviewed him for the documentary. Yeah.
So I think that's the worst part of like this cultural explosion. I'm also watching Goosebumps right now and really loving it. Mm-hmm. Yes, The Great Pumpkin
and Halloween.
But I'm going to watch Hocus Pocus. I'm going to watch Casper. I'm going to watch all of these. The original Under Wraps. The original Under Wraps.
Where can you find it?
What is that?
Not on Disney Plus. They took it out when they made the new one.
Oh, that's the movie show, right?
Yeah. I think we got it on Amazon, to be honest. I think you can get it on Amazon on streaming, maybe.
I'm going to have to look.
Or maybe we watched it and then they took it off when they put the new one on. I don't remember.
I know they took it down when they put the new one up.
But, you know, all those classics. I saw the new Exorcist, Believer.
I wanted to ask you about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because Andy said this is the 50th anniversary of Exorcist.
Right. So, Bree and I were kind of split on it. I liked it. She didn't, but she had very good reasons for not liking it. Part of it being some of the writing's a little dumb.
David Gordon Green.
But some of it's good. Like I thought a lot of oddly enough as a theological history nerd, like I thought some of the theology in it was really cool and interesting, but some of the scenes were like, that's the direction you went with that? Okay, fine.
No, I like the idea that I heard that exorcisms or possessions occur in cultures around the world.
Yeah,
it's not unique to Christian theology that people are possessed.
They do touch on that in the movie, which I thought was really neat. But yeah, we've been jumping on the scary thing, and I really just love
Fall of the House of Usher. Has anybody done Fall of the House of Usher?
Not yet.
Yes, we finished it,
and
we loved it.
Yes, I can't wait. Because Hill House was the best thing on TV in the past.
I still haven't watched that, so that's like.
Hill House was amazing. Okay. Bly Manor was Bleh Manor. And then, but Fall of the House of Usher, if you're a Poe fan, Edgar Allan Poe.
Which I am.
I mean, it's just in your face Poe references the whole time.
Cool. And,
Great.
And Brie, like, my wife, Brianna, does not know how she did not become like a weird goth kid because she like used to memorize Poe for fun when she was a teenager. And so, like, I know, like, The Raven and The Telltale Heart and, like, a little bit of the rest of it.
Mask of the Red Death.
Mask of the Red Death. And she was like, that's a reference. That's a reference. That's a reference. It's like, awesome. Every 10 seconds. But it's so good. It's very gory and really spooky.
Somewhere over here.
There you go. And.
Sorry.
What was that?
But
really Luke just sent a video from Vegas. I'm trying to turn it off.
Really, really well written and very well acted, very well put together. It's really good. I liked it a lot. I don't know if it beats Hill House for me, but it's up there.
Well, Hill House is such a high bar, and we are about to finish here, Derek, if you need to get going. So I apologize. We are kind of coming to an end. Anything else, Ben?
I just love Halloween, and then when November 1st hits, we jump into Christmas, and I like that too. And I love that too. And
next Tuesday is a Halloween. By the way, we have a big Halloween party. A Scare Guy and Circles LA are sponsoring it over at the Mayflower Club in Los Angeles. If you guys are interested, private message us, because it is invite only and you have to be invited. So we're inviting. And the reason for that is because we don't want any douchebags showing up. I'm just sorry. I'll just be completely honest. No, we're kind of careful who we invite. Yeah, we're inviting just people that are, we vet you first. And then I'm having a personal Halloween party on Halloween night. It's the Great Pumpkin Party, because I got so many pumpkins here. I said, I'm inviting everyone to my pumpkin patch. Anyways, guys, we got to do it to wrap up, but I just want to let you know, I just poured myself a painkiller beer because it has
Frogtown.
Yes. It's a tiki themed beer.
Does check out this coconut and orange juice in it?
I'm sorry.
Does it have coconut and orange juice in it?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Okay.
It's amazing. And here is one of the most amazing tiki mugs I have ever seen. I think I've shared it on the either on That's here incredible. Or Tiki Freaks. I won this at San Diego Comic-Con. This thing is worth like $300. It's a really price. I'm going to set it down. So that said,
that's awesome.
Real quick, we're going to end with, and we'll come back real quick. If you guys need to jump, go ahead and jump. If those who can stay on, because we have like a 3-minute video from Cheeseman. Luke, he's in Vegas, and Tiki and Halloween intersect in big ways. Mm-hmm. And it did for Luke today. So I'm going to share. Luke sent us this video about a cool. Here, if I can remember how to do it. And then we'll come back and say goodbye. So here is Cheeseman in Vegas. And if I can make it work, Cheeseman in Vegas. Here we go.
Is it? Oh.
What's up, Scare Guy? I'm here with Jake, the Jacoby System. We are in Las Vegas right now. We are sorry to miss the Halloween episode of this week, but
speak up, Luke.
We did some visiting of some tiki rooms, and I got a cool tiki mug this week that's a Frankenstein theme, which I felt kind of goes a little bit with the Scary Guy, but also the Tiki Freaks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where did we get this, Jake?
We got this at Frankie's Tiki Room in Las Vegas. One of the oldest...
I tried to convince him to get one too, but...
One of the oldest, you know, most cool tiki spots in town. So you can see a fun thing with it being
called Frankie's,
and they have that kind of Frankenstein design.
And you've met the guy that makes these mugs, right?
Yeah, so my wife Lisa and I were at Frankie's back in 2019, and we didn't realize that the guy who is the, I guess, owner and president of the company Tiki Farm was just there. He just happened to be visiting, and then we were just talking to him, and dude's really cool guy. Holden Weston, I think his name is. Awesome guy. Told us all about the history of like Frankie's and, you know, the mugs they designed for him. But yeah, like the detail on this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they have a Frankenstein monster inspired tiki mug.
Yeah, and I actually got the drink that was kind of created for it. Like, I think you got a little video of they have the recipe of the drink that kind of comes in it. But it's a really cool box, really cool design.
Even the little, like, what do you call them, like swizzle sticks?
Yep.
Really cool designs. But yeah.
Supposedly that's the owner. Looks like Big Lebowski or something.
And what's cool about the box, too, is it even shows they have, like, a drink menu. A drink, recipe.
The drink that I had.
Really cool design.
I want to know how many beers they were in at this point. They sent this at 11 this morning.
Everybody.
The question still stands.
Signing off.
Probably
got it. Jameson, our friend. We're at the When We're Young concert here, which was a great show.
Cheers.
I know Sum 41's a big kind of Halloween, and kind of they have some kind of monster themes with some of their music and even their design. So
even the new Green Day album is has a zombie theme. Like they're all dressed up as like, you know, bloody zombies and stuff. So
pretty punk cool. Rock supports monsters, and so do we.
Yep.
Cheers, everybody.
And when you're in Vegas, check out Frankie's Tiki Room.
Frankie's Tiki Room.
All right, guys, we are going to be ending here.
Luke called Jake the Jacoby System.
That's his.
He's called the Jacoba System. The Jacoby System.
Yeah.
That's why I'm asking how many beers in were they when they shot.
I think the beers were. I think the hangover was from yesterday. And Katie, I think you got the concerts right. But
yeah,
Luke said that today about 12:15, and I noticed like, wow. they're going. Or anyways, they were there at Frankie's Tiki Room in Las Vegas. It's a 24-hour tiki room, one of the oldest in the city, and it's a pretty amazing spot. As and for those of you who don't know, we do have another podcast and website called The Tiki Freaks. Check it out. We are talking about tiki and Halloween. I'm hoping to get Ben on there because Ben is a mixologist himself, so I hope to get him on there. Listen.
Oh, I love it. I'm down anytime. I'm disappointed I didn't get a phone call about the haunted hayride.
Oh, I would have.
Call me. You have my number.
I know. It's one of the, I didn't put that one together. Somebody else did.
It's fair enough.
There's some drama that happened. I'll tell you off camera what happened. Anyways, hey guys, thank you so much, everybody, for watching this week. We just want to wish you a very happy Halloween. Halloween is it like a week?
A week and one day.
A week and a day, or whenever you're listening to this, we are in Halloween week, guys. Enjoy it, because I think one of the reasons Halloween is so big this year, as we know, the past 3 years, we've been slowly kind of trying to pull some back. I remember 2020, we did our podcast. It was all online. Halloween was all online. Nobody went anywhere and did anything. 2021, we maybe had like 15 people around, maybe. And then 2022, it kind of jumped last year. And then this year, I think is everyone's like, hey, we're going to do Halloween this year. It's the first year in Los Angeles for the big West Hollywood street fair is happening. So they're predicting it to be one of the biggest years they've ever had. It's been canceled the last 3 years, 2021, 22. So anyways, we do at the end. I have some guests who just showed up downstairs. So I'm going to head downstairs. But listen, guys, thank you so much for joining tonight. Katie and Ben, though. Katie, we're going to start with you. Last thoughts on the state of Halloween, and then you're closing.
Honestly, I think I've said all I needed to say, but I am going to say I forgot to mention Trick or Treat. That is my favorite Halloween movie.
Yep.
Have to see it. The writer just announced a short story being released that is a sequel to it. We're still waiting on the news for the actual sequel, but Trick or Treat, great, should watch it. And a Muppet Haunted Mansion. So
yes,
great.
Yes.
Very
watch
good.
It on Disney Plus. I watched it last year. It's so wonderful. If you love the Muppets, I am a millennial. I grew up on the Muppets, and it was just everything you wished the Haunted Mansion movie was.
How did millennials grow up in the Muppets when they came out in the 70s? That's all I want to know.
Because we were born in the 80s.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were hitting their stride when we were kids, man.
Stay tuned to my social media, all at KT_Christine. If you follow me on TikTok, it's pretty much only K-pop content at this point. So that's mostly that. But on Instagram, you can follow my other adventures. You'll get to see all of my Halloween costumes. They cannot be as epic as last year where I dressed up as Hogsmeade. But this year I have some fun stuff planned, and I haven't even figured it all out yet. But happy Halloween, everyone.
All right. And before Ben goes, I just want to say goodbye. This has been great. You can find me, Jim, at The Scare Guy. You can also find me on James D. Fry on Instagram. And Ben, take us out.
All right, everybody. I am Ben Cleaver. You can find me on social media at BenKlieWer. Yes, that's how it's spelled. Yes, it's pronounced Cleaver. Easy to say, hard to spell. And I was going to dress up in a Halloween costume. I actually have an Alan from the Barbie movie costume, but I can't because I'm on strike.
Oh, that's right. I saw that. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, SAG-AFTRA has asked for SAG-AFTRA members or to not dress up like characters in currently struck productions.
And a quick caveat to that, you can dress up like them, just don't post it on social media because it could be considered promotion of the project. Yes. You can still dress up like your favorite characters, just don't post it on social media because we're drawing a hard line. But yeah, Halloween, I think, controversial statement, I think Halloween is here to stay.
Why is that controversial? That's awesome.
It's controversial for some people.
That's the joke. Thank you all so much for tuning in to The Scare Guy live tonight. For those of you listening later, thank you so much for listening to our little podcast that could, part of the Con Guy network of shows here on that hashtag show. Thank you to that hashtag show for broadcasting us. And as always, my name is Ben Cleaver. This is the Scare Guy podcast. Also check out the Con Guy podcast. And the reason I'm drinking out of this red cup is because whenever Ben Cleaver shows up, it's always a party. Good night, everybody.
Happy Halloween.